Welcome to the Near Post Lug, where too much football or futsal is never likely to be enough. The FFA's National Futsal Championships have just concluded in the ACT for 2010. It was well organised by Capital Football, and as is usual at this time of the year, damn hot. But that didn't stop the hundreds of young Australians from the ACT and many other hundreds from around Australia producing some sensational futsal. There are so many entertaining clashes and so many extravagantly talented young players on display from all around Australia. But how disappointing to see the meagre Canberra Times coverage given to this spectacular participation event by our young Australians. Now, I think we've got reason to feel aggrieved here. Instead, the Canberra Times gave us front page pictures and tiresome ramblings about summer gnats and its chronic indebtedness, burnouts and yahoos. Oh, well, I guess some people like summer gnats, just like some people like futsal. But I make the point, parents of players paid for the futsal championships and no cost was left behind for the ACT government by Capital Football or the FFA. And damn by faint praise, the healthy, wholehearted efforts of Australian youth and the many parents and officials who gave their time to make everything so good in our community for our young Australians. And where was the front page picture for the ACT youth women's team that won their final? Would have made a better picture than some yahoo in a hotted up car doing a burnout. Honestly, what are we to think? Not good enough, Canberra Times. Get in behind the community. Let's hope this football season we see a lot more coverage than we got in 2009. Tonight, we're going to do an in-depth wrap on the Futsal Nationals and futsal in the ACT. We're going to do it with Pat McCann, the Assistant Technical Director at Capital Football. Now, Pat's a much-travelled and highly qualified football professional. He knows what he's talking about. He's worth listening to. And on the subject of futsal, this is very definitely one sport that is a work in progress. We're talking to Pat McCann, Assistant Technical Director at Capital Football, and we're going to talk about futsal. We've just finished the Futsal Nationals here in the ACT, as we do every year, and the ACT has had a pretty good campaign. How do we go, Pat?
I think if you want to make your evaluation based upon wins and losses, we did quite well. We managed to appear in 12 quarter or semi-finals and 7 finals. So for a federation of our size and our resources, I think that's quite impressive. You will have some detractors who will tell you that 12 quarterfinals or semi-finals, 7 finals and 1 national championship pales in significance to past results. Probably the difference needs to be noted, and that difference is the preparedness and the amount of resources and intentions of other states these days. Futsal is changing, it's changing rapidly, and it's become a far more competitive environment. So for us being the smallest federation taking part in that national championships, to achieve those numbers is certainly impressive. It's proof that we are progressing because it's an improvement on last year and the previous year. If we are to evaluate our program solely based on results, well, I think the results are quite successful. There's any number of reasons that could be brought up why we appear in that many finals but don't win them. Perhaps that's for a different discussion, but certainly from a results-based experience, we've done quite well. I think there's other evaluations and other criteria you probably also need to make in regards to whether our appearance at the Nationals is a success or not too. So winning by all means is an important thing. It's an end product, but it's not the only part.
Well, could I just say that for those doomsdayers out there that might think that 7 finals and 12 quarterfinals isn't enough and one sensational win by our youth women's team, if they don't think that's enough, can I remind the listener out there that Queensland got one championship, same as us, and Victoria only 2. That might help the listener out there put this whole thing in perspective. And if we want to start to narrow the stats down a bit more, we might find that Queensland and Victoria don't have the same rate of quarters and, or perhaps the same rate of quarters, but certainly not finals as ourselves. Seems to me we might be punching out of our division here.
Yeah, oh, we are, and we always have been. I think futsal in the ACT has progressed at a far greater rate than anywhere else. However, we've got to also need to understand that other states are catching up to us.
Yeah.
So our answer to that is, how do we maintain our competitive advantage? How do we get our kids to be able to compete at the highest level or at higher level than they currently are, given that other states are beginning to catch up?
That sharpens the pencil a bit on this whole business of competitiveness. There's not much doubt New South Wales are the current powerhouse. That's no secret to anyone watching futsal at the Nationals. And in this particular case, they competed out of 14 out of 16 of the finals. They have made an appearance. I think they nailed 12, which we'll all say is pretty impressive. Why are they so powerful? How have they got to where they've got to?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. Common sense tells you that their 200,000 participants will produce a far greater talent pool than our 18,000.
True.
Beyond that, also, you know, those figures are a little bit skewed because you have included Southern New South Wales.
That's true.
The state of New South Wales, in terms of the state that competed under the New South Wales Thunder and Lightning banner, I think we're in 10 of 10 finals.
Yep.
ACT was in 7. So those numbers yep. appear even more favourable for us in that case.
Yep.
Beyond strength and numbers, they also are beginning to resource futsal from a federation level. So as futsal has become more integrated across the country with their state governing body, the state governing body has gone on to resource them. So that means they're resourcing them with staff, they're resourcing them with development officers, and they're resourcing them with programming. Some federations are beginning to resource them with additional venues as well. We can't complain here in Canberra because certainly we are a highly resourced program. I don't think resources in terms of money is necessarily an issue. I think certainly organizationally we can improve. We probably have an opportunity to train more than any other state in Australia. We spend more money on training than any other state in Australia. I would argue with anyone that anyone has a bigger budget than what we do. However, beyond the high performance program, we literally have nothing. We rely on two recreational programs, North and South, to produce players, and that system is proven to be ineffective.
That's the key to this, isn't it? For the listener out there that looks at all this and wonders why there's this apparent disparity and yet New South Wales come through with all these wins. What we're getting down to is a fundamental difference in playing structure, is it not?
That's one answer. I think one answer is certainly their programming at the club level is far superior than ours. So they have elite club programs in place. We don't. So our next step is to put in place an elite premier structure for maybe double age groups rather than single age groups.
Yeah.
That would certainly increase the competitiveness and allow our best players to be playing against one another like for like. Certainly, I think the other issue here with us lies within coaching. Futsal is still a very, very young sport. From a national level, we're only just now coming to grips with the importance of the quality of coach education and instruction. And that needs to also filter down to futsal as well. We have a relatively young group of inexperienced coaches. That is good and bad. It's good in that many of them are open to learning and they are prepared to be able to seek opportunities for further professional development. It's not so great in that when we get in an environment like Nationals, where decisions are being made under pressure, we often see coaches make mistakes, which is normal. They're going to make mistakes. However, it's a difficult environment to be learning in. And unfortunately, we pay the price sometimes. And we all know that one decision in futsal could mean the beginning or the end in regards to winning or losing games. And we saw it in the finals.
Yep.
We saw it across age groups where one individual error, whether that be coaching, playing, or even refereeing, eventually either affects the end result of a game or begins momentum that affects the end of a game. So those two things really is that is the club structure, a Premier League structure where we have our best players competing against each other, and two, coach education scheme that gives access and allows access to the very best instruction. Now, the problem with that is, in terms of futsal instructors in this country, we don't have any. We were lucky enough during the Nationals to present a seminar for 15 coaches who availed themselves on the Wednesday night to come and do some match analysis and some individual futsal ability exercises. And the only qualified personnel to bring in to present that were the assistant coach of the Futsal Rouge, Rob Varela, and myself. So in regards to guys who are either available or qualified at that level, it's very difficult. So from a very national level, we need to be able to start identifying presenters and assessors, putting on instructors' courses to make sure that the coaches have every availability to be able to get the information they need.
I think you've hit the nail right on the head. If we just look down below the Nationals and into our domestic competition, which is essentially, so in many ways you correctly said, is recreational. Most of the young teams don't train. They don't train. There's no one to coach them. There's just a parent who gets them together, fills out the card because they're the coach or the manager, and the kids get out there and kick and chase.
Yeah, I mean, that gap is just too great. The gap between
it is really, isn't it?
A recreational competition and a national championship is too great. Now, the expectation has been that this futsal program fills that gap. Well, it just doesn't. The evidence suggests it doesn't. It can't. I'm not sure that that's essentially the role of the federation, to be preparing players who are essentially recreational to be able to compete at a national level. There needs to be another space for that to happen in that complements the preparations that we do. You know, and that's going to be interesting to see how that evolves. But certainly we're aware of it, and that's probably our next step in terms of where we go, is evaluating how we went and progressing from there.
We just keep on this point just a little bit more, and say to the listener out there who might be thinking back to days when they imagine had brighter results, that is more ACT teams winning finals. Again, back to the original point you made, our operating environment has fundamentally changed. It is now much more competitive across the board, and we have New South Wales, who is very dominant. They've made changes that make anything we did before no longer the way to proceed. That gap is now highlighted with a big spotlight, and how we bridge that, I guess, is the challenge.
Yeah, well, we need to sit down and review our program and have a look at that. It's interesting to note that we've established a Premier League competition for our men's and women's teams. Most of our youth men's and women's teams also compete in that Premier League.
Yeah.
So if we want to look at how those competitions affect results, well, we had in every age group from 16 boys, youth men and women involved in a national championship final. That's your evidence that stands for producing a higher level of local competition. We've done that, and the feedback we've got is pretty obvious. We're in national championship finals. Now, did we win five of those? No, we didn't. We lost four and we won one. So, do we still have work to do? Absolutely. New South Wales didn't appear in those five.
That's true.
We played quite a selection of teams, including Queensland and southern New South Wales. So it's not as always as clear as people would like to suggest. You'll also probably be told that the standard is lower than it used to be. I find that difficult to believe.
Well, lower at the top end?
Yeah, I think that some people are suggesting that, the standard is across the board lower than it's been before. So
it's a bit hard to believe watching.
Yeah, it is. So, I'm not sure. I think that's a little bit mischievous sometimes. There's people out there who like to downgrade our efforts for their own purposes, I'm not sure.
Well, yeah, so to talk about doing down by faint praise, true that from, as it is in football, that you look at age groups and you say, well, this year, this age group doesn't look as strong as the year before. It's cyclical things. In a couple of cases, I think that could be said of this year. But then again, other age groups were frighteningly strong, boys and girls, men and women. This thing has a natural variation to it. I find it extraordinary that anyone would suggest that the standard has gone down with all the... It doesn't follow, does it? I mean,
no, it doesn't. Definitely not. I think the standard over the last 3 years has got better. I think the teams that states like Victoria and Northern New South Wales are producing, the teams are far superior than they used to. So that only leads on to a greater level of competition. So probably of any state that should be disappointed this year would be Victoria. Victoria is certainly leading the way in terms of their programming in their own state and their programming in regards to their high performance program. So I think they would be disappointed given the progress they've made at their end results. But it is a process, and some of these things don't happen overnight. So I'm sure they'll go back to the drawing board to figure out what they're doing right, figure out what they're doing wrong, and move on from there. But certainly in my discussions with some of the state technical directors, the movement and the resources being given to them are far superior than what we previously experienced.
To any fair observer, the game is just getting stronger, and the fact that teams are competing more robustly against us isn't necessarily saying we're less worthy. It just means that people are starting to apply themselves to the task now.
Yeah, and listen, I think we need to remember that the sport of futsal is only very, very young. We've only had a few World Cups run under FIFA's banner, far fewer than what we've had in regards to football. So if you look at the development of football in relationship, well, we are. We're a very, very young sport. And we're even a younger sport again, given our environment here in Australia and the development of futsal. So the history is very short, but the future is very bright. And I'm a very passionate advocate for the sport of futsal, both in and of itself and as a fantastic development tool for football players. It is a five-a-side version of football. It has many similar characteristics, but a few different ones. We have, alongside the FFA, identified it as a fantastic development device. It's exciting. It's fun. Parents enjoy watching it. It's a great avenue for development. Probably our next move is on a broader scale and discussing how we can promote and brand add additional value by getting our own venues, by producing places to play.
Oh, good point. Right on the money. That's a nice little lead into the next point, facilities. There's no doubt. One of the major drawbacks for schools or groups of individuals wanting to put a team together is just where to train. And of course, you know, we collide with basketball and any other indoor activity that goes on. We simply need more multi-user facilities with this in this regard.
Yeah, certainly. If we have a look at the amount of expenditure in regards to venue costs between the North and South Side recreational programs, the high performance program and our adult futsal programs.
Well, I bet it's a pretty big dollar.
I mean, don't quote me, but I think you'd be looking upwards of close to $500,000 a year.
My goodness.
So if I'm an investor
and
I had a lot of money
and
I was looking at a business opportunity, I would assume that knowing that my cash flow was going to be a minimum of $500,000 a year, I could easily be able to convince partner investors, banks, government agencies, grant organizations that certainly there's a viable opportunity here. Mm. Certainly that needs to happen. It needs to happen sooner rather than later. There's a model that I'm watching interestingly in Great Britain. Futsal is taking off. Of all countries that you wouldn't expect it to ever take off, it's taking off in Great Britain. The FA, the Football Association, has really placed great emphasis on futsal. They've identified their weaknesses are similar to Australian weaknesses in regards to individual ability on the ball, and they've chosen futsal as one tool in the arsenal that they have to correct that. So they actually have a model of five-a-side facilities, which is a franchise model. Obviously, you're looking at different populations and different geographical difficulties, but they started off with a five-a-side outdoor model, which now they've taken in as futsal into an indoor arena, where you can buy into a franchise opportunity, and it's a money-making model. I'm not sure that from a federation point of view, our businesses are getting into running facilities necessarily. Perhaps in the ACT we need to, but certainly for an outside investor, great opportunity to take a market and make your own.
Look, there are two examples in the ACT in terms of facilities, multi-user facilities, that must show the way ahead. The first one is at Hawker, getting used all the time. Not weather dependent, very low maintenance, absolute sensation. That must flag the way ahead. Now, if we go to the operation that was used this year in the Nationals at the Empower Dome, and of course the courts are all stacked in there for maximum participation activity, Nationals come along, spin it round the other way, we've got four courts running from one end to the other, masses of room for spectators on either side, so coaches and teams can get well away from the throng on the other side. The parents and spectators are over on the other side, got space to move around in, other space behind them for the young siblings to roll over and kick a ball without getting outside or getting lost. Perfect, absolutely perfect. By any stretch of the imagination, the Empower Dome doesn't rival the pyramids. Big barn, probably the most expensive thing is that floor. It's a great floor, great surface. Must be able to replicate that.
Yeah, well, listen, certainly the background behind the Empower Dome is as a purpose-built facility that will facilitate court sports. And the plan behind it was to, as a franchise opportunity, it's not expensive to put up. It's not expensive to run. Certainly, they've taken a couple of years to find their feet financially and from a business point of view. But over the past few years, you can see it getting busier. The Empower Dome is interesting is that when you open it up, it's literally a big tent.
In the course of those Nationals, talent emerges, particularly in the lower age group. Young players, boys and girls who've been playing a reasonable bit of football, been playing a bit of futsal, all of a sudden, click, they're there. And you see potential. As a coach, you see potential. What should a coach do when they find they have players they're not particularly connected up, other than they're maybe running around with the local club in the last football season, and maybe they're knocking around with a half-baked futsal team? North or South, what should they do?
It means that we're doing a good job with the identification. It means if we're identifying new players who have talent, it means our identification program is working. The second thing I would say is that it does work both ways. We've integrated the futsal and football programs for two reasons. Number one, to promote futsal to a wider audience, to ensure that we have our best possible futsal and football players available to play. So we're promoting the brand and getting better players. But two, to be able to use the two sports as a cross-reference, so that if somebody is an effective futsal player, well, perhaps they'll be identified to join a football high-performance program, and vice versa. It does work both ways. So, and one of the strengths of our program, probably stronger than any other state, is that we have now, or we're starting to have now, some football coaches who are also engaging in some futsal coaching. So those coaches do have the opportunity to identify these players and do have the opportunity to say, I think that perhaps our high performance football program would be a great avenue for you, or perhaps maybe you should be looking more towards this club rather than that club. So certainly we're identifying the players. What we do with them next, we need to probably make it a little bit more clear.
Because there's no doubt, well, particularly 11s and 12s, and perhaps 13s, you see players emerge. When we're running Cobras and Colts teams, and it's particularly down in the Colts you see kids just blossom. And the first question the parent asks after satisfying themselves that their child's improved and enjoyed it is, well, what do we do next? How do we keep this experience going?
Yeah.
I think connecting with the high performance program, the football program, and helping them get to a club, because some of these odd few kids are running around and having a knock around in Div 2 or Div 3 because they're just playing football and no one knows any better, so there you go.
I think the missing factor in terms of futsal is also a Premier League, and it's also a longer-term development program. So experience this environment of futsal, they like it, they want to progress in it. I think certainly a longer-term training program that operates throughout the year is one answer. Whether or not that's integrated with football entirely is another question.
Well, the parents will often talk about football and futsal in the same breath.
Yeah.
And the kids will often think that way.
Yeah, too. And it should be. It should be. We don't have the benefit of a large enough talent pool to separate them, and we shouldn't. And any move to separate them or identify them as completely different is wrong at best and bizarre at worst.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So certainly we need to more closely associate them, but we need to make sure that we're offering avenues in both for players who want to consider moving forward with that. Now, certainly given the weather here in Canberra, it does make sense to occasionally go inside in the winter. Using futsal as a more long-term training device across the course of the year, straight away there's an opportunity. The second opportunity is with a Premier League that perhaps operates in some of those winter months alongside a football program. There are questions that need to be answered, and we need to sit down and have a look at the common sense side of things in regards to what some of the possibilities are.
Who advances this in capital football? Is it the Futsal Standing Committee? Do they have carriage of this sort of strategic thinking and sort of business modelling for how futsal is to go forward? I'm not talking about specific technical issues.
No. Certainly they would have an interest in regards to their role is to guide the vision and the long-term health of the sport, but they would neither be qualified nor expected to be to producing plans or programming moving forward. The process that we will undertake is an advisory one where we will go through a process of review similar to what we did last year with our coaching staff and any other interested parties. I would then sit down and give my personal view to the technical director, and we would then negotiate or consult with some other interested parties to produce what we think is the next part of progress. There's been quite a bit of interest and sometimes criticism in the process that we've undertaken, but I think people don't understand that it is just that. It's a process. It's not an end point. What's important is we don't make the same mistakes again, and that we see progress, and that every one of our decisions takes into consideration a player and the ball. Anytime we move away from that consideration, we're probably moving in the wrong direction.
I just have to say that all the things we've talked about indicate that we're facing up to the changing environment. At some point, I feel, and perhaps it's best illustrated by the facilities issue, at some point we've got to look at, when I say we, I mean sort of the capital football environment. I guess it's the board, for want of an expression. That's just my view. if I can put it in that term, we need to somehow have some sort of business model that allows us to nail all of these elements by whatever means. Otherwise, it's a disparate group of things. I have no doubt we can come across the technical issues. It's sticking the other fabric of this together that seems to be a bit tricky and might be the real challenge going forward. But we're talking about talented players. Clearly, Pat, the thing we want to do, particularly at those under-11s through to under-16s, we want to retain them. That just has to be in the back of the mind of every coach and manager running teams. Fair enough?
Yeah, I think we do, and I think there's some other issues that exist in regards to some of our better players moving on to the Academy of Sport program.
Perhaps
what we need to do is, and it's as part of our review, is we probably need two programs. We need a program for the 11s to 13s, and we need a program for the 14s to youth team, because the 11s
high performance, you mean?
Yeah, because the 11s to 13s can be very structured. It can be relatively inflexible. It can be clear and transparent. For those older age groups where you have some other issues that exist, that doesn't appear to be a fit, or our current program doesn't appear to be a very good fit. The difficulty is communicating that to people, because...
Can I just stop you there then? I felt this was no better evidenced than in the under 15 girls competition this year. Now, very clearly, every state must be facing the same problem. The national training centres, in our case ACTAS, harvesting the better or best players. It's equally as obvious the effect of that is perhaps to lower the potential competitiveness of that age group. If I just say my opinion, I'd ask you to say it. That's what I saw when I watched the under 15 girls competition. Not that they weren't combative and they didn't have a good campaign. They certainly did. But it was clear there were players missing. There was talent missing because you had gaps in performance. Now, that said, why is it that our national training centres, if we think for ourselves just at ACTAS, why is it that we can't find a way through here to enable these girls to participate at the Futsal Nationals? Is it so far off the footballing development radar at that level, or... is it? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure myself.
So I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I mean,
no,
it's
I'm
just
not
a
sure.
glaring gap.
I'm not sure myself what, with women specifically, we already have identified one of the greatest weaknesses is that our best female players very rarely get to play against one another. So it would occur to me that if we're going to have a national championship, that we take every opportunity to get the best players to play one another.
Yep.
In this case, you know, I think you're right. There's a dramatic drop-off between the under-13 and under-14 and 15 women's age group, and there's a dramatic drop-off between the under-14s and 15 boys' age groups.
Certainly
the
is.
Standard goes down
yep.
across the board in all states. We are not the only state that experiences this, and neither are we immune. So this app happens on a broader scale, and probably something that we can't answer.
And just for the listener, if they're wondering why this has emerged, here's just an example of a problem that never existed in the same way in the futsal environment until the last year or so. A-League appears. A-League youth teams appear. They raid the AIS. The AIS drops its age group. That bounces back into the national training centres, in our case ACTAS, one of those in every state and territory, and they now harvest players at lower age groups again. Effect on futsal? The gaps in the age groups you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, I think so. And that's okay. That's the direction of the sport. That's where that programming has gone. Mm. I'd be interested to see at one point whether they do pay attention to futsal or not, and if they decide that, we can still integrate at that level without it costing them somewhere else. You know, it's an interesting discussion. I don't know if it's going to work. What it does come essentially down to is our talent pool.
Yep.
We have a small talent pool in the ACT, but overall Australia has a very small talent pool,
yes.
and that's where you see that difference.
Yeah.
And that's where the old argument that football and futsal are different sports once again gets pulled apart, because we do see a lowering in standard between those age groups. So the reality is that they are very similar sports. The best players are playing both.
Yep.
They want to play both.
Yep.
There's advantages to playing both. They're not separate sports. One is a smaller version of another. They're both very good for one another. One of my favourite sayings is a high tide floats all ships. The stronger football gets, the stronger futsal will get.
That's true enough.
The argument that futsal needs to go back out on its own does not hold water. It's ridiculous. It would be a massive backward step, a detriment to the sport. And certainly in Canberra, we've made some good steps. We're still a long way away, absolutely. But looking on into the future, we're looking to continue to make it a priority and continue to grow it. It makes a lot of sense in our climate. It makes a lot of sense with our relatively small talent pool.
Can I ask you a question? You're a football professional. Is there a divide between football professionals, technical professionals, on the appropriateness of futsal in the development of footballers? A yes and a no divide?
No, I wouldn't call it a divide. I'd say that different people have different ideas and opinions. And I think that we're going through a transition period with a new national curriculum, a new national plan. We're going through a transition period of a national federation who is doing an excellent job at branding itself, reinventing excellent promotional materials, curriculum materials, coach education materials, but is still finding it difficult to make sure that everything always gets done. Things don't happen all at once.
That's for sure.
But certainly I see massive amounts of progress. Is there a divide? Well, you're always going to have different generations of coaches. I am a new generation of coach. I would hope to think that I'm relatively enlightened and progressive. I have undertaken the highest FIFA futsal course ever offered in Australia, and I've undertaken professional accreditation in football in this country and overseas. So I've had the opportunity and the benefit of observing coach education and attitudes towards both the sports in a number of countries, and I would be that next generation. Is there a divide between my generation and previous ones? Maybe. But there's also different ways of doing things. Any good coach educator will tell you that there's no one right way and there's no one wrong way. And I'm always learning. I would hope that some coaches who don't see the benefits of futsal so clearly would be open to learning as well.
And that's a pretty cogent answer. The reason I threw it your way is because when the critics of futsal, sort of vis-a-vis football, come along and you put them under any sort of pressure in terms of argument, their last line of defence in this context that we're talking about, the elite or better players, is, yes, but injury. We don't want them to get injured. Mm. Well, for heaven's sake. Well, I don't know. I saw a lot of matches in the Nationals. I didn't see too many injuries.
No,
I saw a lot of tired people.
Yep.
I didn't see a lot of injuries.
To be honest, I would argue the opposite. I would argue that physically and from a conditioning point of view, it is a great tool for injury prevention and conditioning. My proof is only anecdotal in that we have had for the last 12 weeks from October through this past Friday, upwards of 350 players participate in futsal, and we have seen zero major injury issues. Occasionally, you may have bumps and bruises, but in regards to twisted ankles, knees, hips, contact injuries, they've been extremely rare. Probably the only one happening in the second to last game of the national championships, one of our women's team went down with a pre-existing knee.
I think the word there is pre-existing.
So that was a re-injury, not necessarily an injury. I would argue that the injury excuse is, for all intents and purposes, an easy one to make, and it's not backed up with any sound.
Well, that's what worries me about it. It's just not substantiated.
No.
If that's the only reason in the minds of some coaches or decision makers at the highest level to restrict the movement of players from football elite programs to futsal elite programs to compete at a national level, if that's the only argument they've got, they haven't got much of an argument.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I can understand certainly why they say it. I can the very nature of the sport being high impact, indoor, hard floors, close confines, high speed, probably lends itself to an uneducated observer or inexperienced observer that would result in lots of injuries. The reality is that it doesn't. The reality is that the nature of the sport in its officiating, in its rules, and its culture doesn't lead to a lot of injuries. So whilst I can understand it, certainly in my own personal experience, it's not an argument worth the discussion.
Good. Well, hopefully that will convince some coaches to release players back for this experience. Who wouldn't want to play for their state or territory?
No, I mean, the other issue I have is for a 14-year-old kid to decide not to participate at the national championships is frightening, because they will never be 14 again. And they will never have that opportunity.
Yeah, that's well said, actually. That is well said.
They can ahead as far as they would like, but nobody knows what's happening in the future. Nobody can control what's happening, what can possibly happen in the future. So my advice would be to take as many opportunities as you possibly can, wherever you can. Life has a funny way of working its way out.
Yeah.
And you need to take advantage of every opportunity you have today, because tomorrow there's no guarantees.
Couldn't agree more. Don't know a parent that on a clear thinking day wouldn't agree with that. I think we end it there. It's been a great competition. I think the ACT has done wonderfully well. The youth women's team stand victorious. What a great win that was.
Yeah, absolutely. And we look forward to progressing again next year. So we'll go through this review process, see where it takes us, and hopefully produce a program that can again move us forward.
For all the parents out there and players out there, keep playing futsal, and make sure you're in a club playing football in 2010. Thanks, Pat.
Cheers.
That's it for the Near Post Log. If you're getting to the Near Post, get there first. No sense in getting there second. Ball will be somewhere else. Enjoy your football and futsal. See you next week. Ta-da.